This complicated holiday in America is part caution and part celebration. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Martin Luther King claimed he would not get to the promised land, but that we would. He is not around to celebrate any of the promises that may have come true, so it's up to us to observe all that needs to be done to achieve the King vision. More than 50 years ago, as King was gaining momentum as a national leader, he had few tools for making the changes he dreamed of. He was certainly a legendary orator whose voice has taken its place in the songs of American liberation.
Well, I would say that the spirit of the idea of nonviolent resistance came to me from Jesus Christ. I grew up in the church and always felt moved by and committed to the principles of Jesus Christ from the Sermon on the Mount on through his earthly life.
From these interviews a half century ago, you can hear a confident Reverend King who was willing to try anything to confront the powers he faced. He was open to anything he thought might work.
The operational technique came to me from Mohandas K. Gandhi, the great saint of India. I became convinced that the Gandhian philosophy and the Gandhian method of nonviolent resistance could serve as the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and human dignity.
King pretty much created the prototype for the faith-based activism that we can see everywhere in America today, where politics, Christianity, and nonviolence were glued together with a relentless organization, organization, organization.
The first thing I did at the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church where I pastored in Montgomery was to set up a social and political action committee in the church. Now, this committee was to do two or three things. First, to see that all members were registered voters. Second, to see that all members of the church joined the NAACP and other civil rights organizations that were in the forefront of the struggle. And third, to develop a citizenship awareness within the members, and whenever elections and things like that came up, to seek to educate the members on the issues involved.
This whole philosophy of nonviolence, some people feel that it's a soft way. You're being soft when you don't fight back, but I think this is misunderstood. I think it takes much more courage to stand up and say, I disagree with you, and yet I will refuse to strike you, but I will love you for what you do for me, but I disagree with you, and I will protest what you are doing to me. And there are many ways we have, I think, shown it in our various protests, our staying off of the buses, for instance.
These words are from interviews with Dr. King and Coretta Scott King from over 50 years ago, interviews conducted by reporter Eleanor Fisher, who wanted to know exactly what moved this man so determined to make radical change.
Did he seem infused with a desire to do something?
Oh, yes. Himself? He talked about his interest in the well-being of all people, and he expressed a strong desire to do something about it. I don't suppose he himself at that point knew exactly what, but he felt that he could probably do to serve humanity better, I suppose, through the ministry. And this was one of the reasons why he said that he was going to stay in the ministry, because he felt that this was where he could do his best service.
Reporter Eleanor Fisher also questioned Martin Luther King Jr.'s most important mentor as a preacher, his father, King Sr., who could see that his son was prepared to confront the most powerful and ruthless forces in America, forces of bigotry and segregation, to make change.
Do you approve of the method that he is using?
Oh, yes, he's right.
You think he is right?
Oh, yes, he's been ever so much help to me. Oh, yes, his philosophy is sound.
How has he been of help to you?
Well, in that he's taken a lot of the fight out of me and the brutal, frank way that I have spoken and cut and my speech to people. He has taken that out and made me even softer in my speech and fight, and so that he's been most helpful to me and his brother. His brother is very much, which is my youngest of the three, very much as I am. He's always ready to fight, physically or any other way. So, but he has helped us in that we've come to see that his nonviolent philosophy is correct.
50 years later, in a confrontation between nonviolence and violence in the pursuit of justice, how can we score that contest today?
Hi, my name is Barry Wynn, and I live in Brighton, Michigan. We may be making progress as a nation toward equality, but individually, it feels like it does not matter. Our leadership, and especially our culture, is as resistant as ever to inclusion.
This is Andrew from San Antonio. I believe that the racism that has always been in this country, and it's always been just below the surface, it's made a huge comeback, and now it has actually become popular to be racist, especially among those living in the South.
Thanks to those of you who called us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Also, thanks to the WNYC Archives and reporter Eleanor Fisher, who more than 50 years ago interviewed Dr. King, Coretta Scott King, and King Sr. Those excerpts come from those interviews in 1961.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.